Kia ora koutou, and welcome to South Pacific Muscle. Tonight, we are truly blessed. We have a competitor that I have looked up to for many years and a top 10 Olympian. Not many people can ever claim to be in that elite group. So welcome on board, Mateo. How are you tonight, bro?
I'm good, thank you, Nate. Thank you for having me on your program.
Awesome.
Appreciate bro. It.
Fuck, you're looking good, bro. You're looking really healthy. Life must be treating you well.
There's nothing, just work and training. Still trying to look after my eating as well.
Like us all trying to look after our eating.
Yes.
Awesome. Hey, tonight, guys, we're really lucky. So we're going to talk to Mateo about his competitive career and some of the things that he's achieved in bodybuilding, but also as a lot of people are very, very excited, we've got the Body of Steel coming up with Mr. Tonga and the Wellness Pro Qualifier. So big, big things. And for those that don't know, Mateo is the promoter of that show, so working with NZIFBB and Mo Masawi. He gets to promote an amazing show, so we'll talk a bit about that. I thought I might let you kick off, Mike. Do you want to fire in with some questions for Mateo right from the start?
Oh, I'm going to fanboy a little bit because Top 10 Olympia's just got me all excited. Hey, there's a certain kind of, I guess, mystique from us mere mortals about what it takes to kind of get to level and to compete at that level. So from a, I guess, a preparation and training perspective, you probably know a lot of the guys around New Zealand, you know, the likes of Tommy Two Guns already a pro working away, but is there a kind of a next level of either training, discipline or genetics that are required to kind of to get to that level?
For me personally, it's all come down to you and if you're a person, that's your passion to reach that level, then you can go there. And also depend on who you're with to take advice from, to guide you through during the process of, especially when it comes down to training experience. For myself, I was just lucky enough to have the man, Mo El-Masawi, to help me through, because he's been there, done that. So there's no better way or better person to take you through it but himself.
I've got a question. I've got a question for you, bro, because I remember doing a show, and I think back then you were competing as in NABBA potentially, and you were winning some titles, and I'd just come back. I'd won the Top of the South on the Saturday. I flew back on the Sunday and we did the spectacular show out west, and you were guest posing, and I saw you guest posing and I thought, man, he's pretty good, but I reckon I could stand next to him. But then something changed in about a year and a half, and I looked at you and went, there's no way I can stand next to him on stage. So what happened at that point in time in your life, or what did you change to jump? Because you really made a step change and became so much better.
Yeah, back then with NABBA, I started with NABBA back in 2008. And I think that for me, it's who I was training with at the time. It's the same thought that you had at the time about me. Mm. I was with that guy, Stan Tatalanoa. You know him too.
Yeah.
So he was my training partner at the time. But being a competitor like Stan, he hides stuff from me. he didn't show me everything that I needed to know at the time. But I always had that thought in me. How am I going to be able to beat him? And that was always my goal. Wow. And I found out some of his weakness that I was pretty good at it.
Yep.
Training with Stan, he doesn't do deadlift. He doesn't squat. but those are my favorite. So the first time I beat Stan, it's all because of those two exercises. I train with Stan every single day. We do the same thing every day. We change the training program and stuff, but it all come down to, I was willing to do more.
Yep.
And I was willing to push further than him. And because I know our training program, our routine, I always go early, an hour earlier than him. And do my own workout. So by the time Stan got to the gym, I'm done. So then I'll carry on training with him. I ended up training 2 hours every day with him, sometimes 2.5 hours, because I already done my own training. I work on things that I know that Stan can't do, and I work on things that I know that is the area that I'm going to beat him. And there was an interview that we did with Kofika at the time, and Lisa Mansi. She asked the question, what do you will it take for you to beat Stan? And my answer was that easy. I'll beat Stan today. That was at the North Harbor show.
Yep.
Never. And I beat him that day. And then they used to call Stan the man at the time.
Yeah.
And then in the interview, it was just me and Stan. We have our relationship at the time. And I call him Stan the Mini Man. Everybody calls Stan the Man. Oh. But then I call him Stan the Mini Man. And Lisa asked me, why are you calling Stan that name? And I said, because I want to beat him today.
It sounds like Arnold and Franco all over again.
Yes. He was the one. He was the reason that I pushed myself over the limit.
Oh, cool.
And I bring in a package that he never seen on stage.
Yep.
On that particular show. He was a bit quiet after that show. And to a point that he even asked Peter Hardwick at the time, because Peter was the head judge. Mm-hmm. And Peter was our sponsor. He sponsored me and Stan. We went to see Peter on Sunday, and then he straight asked me, how come Mateo beat me? And then Peter go, to be honest, then Mateo was just better than you. There's no way you can beat him.
Oh.
I think Stan was the reason for me to push over the limit.
Yeah.
What you were talking about before. That was a big change for me, because I knew he was the guy that I was looking up to.
Yeah, he was the guy everyone was looking up to at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was my motivation at the time.
Mm.
And I always have, if Stan do 20 reps, I'll do 21, 22.
So what did you do once you beat him? Once you've beaten him, then who did you look to? Who was the next person you're thinking, I've got to knock off the list?
After Stan, there was no one else at the time. And with NEBA, they put me and Stan on international category.
Yep.
And there was no one else. It was just me, Stan, and another guy. But the other guy bringing the same package every year. And I remember asking Peter Hardwick and Jim, why don't you just put us guys together with the open tour? Because to me, it's a waste of time training you all your life and all year round just to go up against the same guy every single year who doesn't improve.
Particularly because you and Stan would have been training together. You see each other every day. You might as well post out in the gym.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'm not the type to post in the gym, but Stan made me do it. So every single training session we finish and we post. And me and Stan post the same way. He taught me how to post. And I learned a lot from him too.
Because a lot of guys look up to you for your posing. And I know even Mike Kingsnorth said, when I needed help with posing, Mateo was the guy that I looked up to and I went and sought help from my posing. So
yes. Mike is a really good friend of mine too. We're really close. We haven't competed against each other, but his last show, he did posing with me. And good thing with Mike, he picked it up really quick.
Not bad for a white boy.
He can yeah.
He did look pretty good when he posed, I've got to say. Did. And he did attribute that to you. So that's a lot of praise coming from Mike. So
yes.
Yes, cool. Sorry, Mike, I interrupted you.
No, that's right. You said you learned a lot off Stan, but he was holding some things back. I know you do your own you have your own coaching service. Do you think that you would have progressed a little bit quicker had you employed a coach if there was one of the appropriate caliber to help you along?
Yes, I do believe that too. It's like I said, when I trained with Stan, there are a few things that Stan didn't show me. All because I think Stan knew that one day I will go up against him. And we did a few times. He beat me on my third year. That was my third year of bodybuilding day. I had been winning novice shows on my first year. But then the second year of my bodybuilding career, they put me in the open straight away with them. I looked like a baby next to them. And to be honest, I didn't want to be there. I didn't look like I belonged on that stage either. And I looked like a baby until my third year. Then I start picking up a lot from training, nutrition. A part of my success come from my nutrition as well. I started with Taryn McCall.
Yep.
She was my nutritionist at the time. I don't want to put her down, but at the time I knew my body better than Taryn. And I know what might work on me. So whatever Taryn diet plan that Taryn gave me, I do follow it only to a certain time. But then I kind of add on my little 5 cents into it. And it works perfectly for me and Taryn. But my whole bodybuilding career changed when I switched from NEPA to FPB, when Mo take over. Not only did he take over coaching, training, but also he was my sponsor. And up to today, he's still my sponsor. But there was I think Mo was the one that changed my whole bodybuilding career, my physique and everything.
Yeah, certainly. When you moved across to NZIFBB, the physique you put on stage, even early on in that NZIFBB, you know, that physique was a step change better than what we'd seen from you in the past. I don't know if it was a sign of things to come. Everyone knew you were good, but I don't think anyone knew how good you were. And when Classic came along, then everyone all of a sudden went, holy shit, we've got something really good here. And then obviously you won the pro card. And and then again, you had to make another step change and become even better.
Yes. It was, I won't say it was easy, it was hard. Especially, you get used to the routine of winning. And then Nationals 2015, then I competed a guy that almost doubled my size. Not only that he was massive, but he bring in condition as well. And I'm talking about Steve Oden. That was the first time I caught up against Steve. My condition was 100%, but Steve was just too big. He wasn't just big, but he did bring in condition too. So there was 15.
I stood on stage with him in, I think, 2013 or 2014 before he switched to IFBB. And even then, and he was nowhere near as big as he was when he hit the stage for NZIFBB. But even then, when you're standing next to him and you look down, you saw those legs and you just thought, holy crap. You
know? Yes. Yeah,
pretty intimidating.
I competed against Steve. I was, what, 90, just under 91 kilos.
Yep.
And I think Steve was, what, 112?
Yeah, yeah, somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah, 110. He was just massive. He brings something on stage that you've never seen in a long time here in New Zealand. But yeah. So then I went from there, 2015, to the Amateur Olympia. So me and Mo were getting ready to the World in Spain. And what happened with that, couldn't get my visa. I'm still on my Tongan passport.
Yep.
So we were having a hard time trying to get my visa to go to Spain. And then Mo said, oh, well, that one is not going to work for us. We go to Cocos and do the Amateur Olympia. So which is was more exciting for me. And just hearing the names Olympia, so it's kind of, it was making me more excited.
Yep.
But that's probably the hardest prep of my life. That show, particular show. 4 weeks, 6 weeks to the show, I got sick. And I was already around 8% body fat at the time. And I went to see Mo, and Mo goes, I don't want you to do anything. We're just going to go like this, go and enjoy the show, enjoy the experience, take your family with you. I don't want you to do anything, just maintain whatever you have now. I left Mo's shop that day and I said, hell no. There's no way I'm not going to do that. It was 4 weeks out, sorry. It was 4 weeks out.
Oh.
I said, hell no, there's no way I'm going to go compete like this.
It's really cool to hear that that Mo had your best interest and was concerned about your well-being. But yes. Also, like as soon as you said, hell no, I thought, that's exactly what I would do. I think, you know, that competitive streak kicks in and, you know, at all costs. So how did you end up looking compared to 4 weeks out? So you got, when you got on stage, how did that go, that 4 weeks?
So the funny thing was, because I was at the hospital for 3 days. Then I came out and I went straight from there to see Mo. And Mo goes, there's no way I'm letting you do the show. There's no way I'm letting you do anything else. You're just going to go like this. So I left. I went straight from there to the stairs. Do my cardio. I went and did 2 hours cardio at the stairs from there to the gym. My wife said, what the hell are you doing? Mo already told you what to do. And I said, there's no way I'm going overseas looking like this. So Mo left it there, but keep checking in with me every week to see how I'm doing. I said, yeah, I'm good. And Mo didn't see me until the day of the show. I went and did my spray tan in at the Cocos. And I call him, hey, I'm on my way now to the show. And he said, come, let's go have breakfast. And then we walk from the hotel to the show, which is 2 minutes walk. So I walked in and the first thing he said to me, holy shit. What the hell did you do? And I said, well, what I'm supposed to do? We're here to compete. So he just looked at my face and he goes, holy shit. Yeah.
I can imagine it, he would have been expecting you to be, you know, similar to what he'd seen 4 weeks ago, and you would have come in and your face would have been sucked in and had the death face on, and he would have thought, uh-oh, something's happened.
We arrived in the Cocos on a Friday morning.
Yep.
It was, what, 30 degree over there? Yep. We went and checked into our hotel, and I said to my wife, you wait here. I'm going to go for a walk. And I had 2 chamba on, 2 track pants. and then hit the road for 3 hours, forward, and then come back. Come back, my whole body was wet. Everything was wet. Then come and change, go train. And then we went to the weigh-in on Friday night. And I remember weighing in at 98.
Wow.
It was 98. This is at the weigh-in.
Yep.
After the weigh-in, I came back, hit the road, cardio. Because I knew at the time, everybody in my category, that's the under 100. Everybody weigh in at 99.98, and I knew they will come back to the show over 100.
Yeah.
So after weighing in at 98, and I came back to cardio, train. I did another 6 hours cardio after the weigh in. So on the day of the show, I was just under 95. That was the day of the show. After weighing in.
Yeah, 98. Nuts.
I was just under 95. And I look at the boys in my, we had a really tough class.
Yep.
But then I look at everybody blow up.
Far out. Wow.
I think that was the best show that I ever, that I enjoyed the most. Only because no one likes me over there. I was the only New Zealanders in the whole show.
Wow. Oh.
And to come out, Australia never liked New Zealand.
Nah. Fully. Oh, that would have been gold. I would love that. You'd be like the bad guy.
Yeah. The favorite in my class, he just won Mr. New South Wales the week before, and he was the favorite. The day of the weigh-in, I saw him talk to Steve Auden's coach.
Yep.
And Steve Auden's coach keep pointing fingers at me when he was talking to the guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were talking about, but I'm pretty sure he told the guy, that's your competition over there. Because I saw him 3 times pointing finger at me. So the whole time, the guy didn't even talk to me. He didn't even shake my hand after the prize giving. Wow. And I just went and grabbed his hand and raised it. And I said, hey, it's just bodybuilding.
Oh, it's gold. What an experience, though. What an experience. After like looking like potentially, you know, you weren't going to make it or you were going to go there sort of in out of shape to rocking up and being the bad boy, only Kiwi at the show and cleaning up. It's awesome.
Yes. And I got my pro card on that show too.
What a show to get a pro card too, man.
Yes.
You know, I heard someone else say it the other day. They were talking about, you know, whether they were going to do their nationals or I think this was overseas, or whether they were going to do the, I think they were talking about the Olympia amateur or the Arnold amateur. I can't remember, but they were saying, where would you rather win your pro card? And I think to win a pro card at amateur Olympia is probably about as good as it gets.
The best. It's the best.
Yeah.
To win your pro card. So far.
Sorry.
And that is one thing that, everybody, there are a lot of people has asked me, what is the most memorable moment of your bodybuilding career? Is it the Olympia? And I said, no. It's the amateur Olympia in Australia.
Far out.
And I said, 2014, they robbed me at Melbourne at the Arnold. They dropped me from first to fourth. I didn't know until two judges came after me after the show and said to me, and we know that this is not going to change anything, but we thought to let you know, we had you first. And we're not happy that they drop you from first to fourth.
What a way to get to come back and kind of right that wrong, or, you know, rewrite history by by going over to Australia and doing it again at the Olympics. That's awesome, man.
So the guy who came in third at Arnold,
yeah,
they were in my class at the Amateur Olympia. So when we saw each other there, we kind of knew each other from the show. And a lot of people asked me, why Amateur Olympia and not the actual Olympia? Yeah. And I say, yeah, top 10 at the Olympia was cool, was the best. But the most memorable moment for me was winning my pro card in Australia.
Wow.
Not here at the Nationals.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you remember when I won the IFBB National here, there was the year they stopped giving out pro card at the Nationals.
Yeah, I kind of remember all that. I can't remember all the details of it, but I remember they pulled back on pro cards for a while, and I remember people kicking and screaming about it at the time.
Yeah.
But it was something, obviously, from the IFBB International, yes. and we just had to follow suit. So, yeah. But, hey, I think it led to better things, so it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, Mateo, can I just ask you about that approach that you took by 6 hours of extra cardio and dropping 3 kilos from the weigh-in when everybody else was obviously carving up and trying to get as full as possible? You obviously found that your experience that worked really well for you, but that's an interesting approach. Everybody else normally dries out by getting the carbs in and trying to suck the water from under the skin into the muscles, but you do it differently.
Yes. I do that all the time. My whole bodybuilding career, I do believe most people don't know how to do carb up. Some people, they carb up too early, they spill out. Some people, they carb up too late and they end up flat. So for me, because I do believe that people make their mistakes on the last day, so I'd rather go in tighter than smoother. And because...
Sorry, carry on, bro. I just brought your screen up. Just for those that don't follow Mateo, you should be following this guy, Mateo underscore Vahu underscore IFBB Pro. And there's a link to his Transformations For You page. So if you're not following him, give this guy a follow, because there's some really cool stuff on here. Lots of stuff from your business, bro, and your coaching. I really enjoy that.
Yes.
But I also like fanboying at some of your pictures, bro. I like. And this is, Mike, this is when you asked that question. I thought, I've never seen Mateo look flat or stringy. Yeah. So, you know, I think that approach absolutely suits Mateo. And, I mean, look at that.
This particular photo here, I was 3 weeks out.
Most people would kill to even be close to that on the day, let alone 3 weeks out. So, yeah. Far out. And there's your main man. And, you know, for those people, you know, like a lot of people have issue with Mo, et cetera. Look, Mo's a great businessman. He is a great bodybuilder. And despite all the politics of the past, there's all sorts in the background there. But bodybuilding has moved for the better. And he has made a lot of dreams come true with those pro cards and supported a lot of people. So shout out to Mo. A lot of people wouldn't be where they are today in the IFBB without his help. So bit of a shout out there for you, bro. And this one's last year's Mr. Tonga, yeah?
Yes.
Is that Stanley?
No, this is Carl Cocker.
Carl Cocker. Stanley Cocker does Strongman, right?
Stanley does Strongman.
Yeah, so Carl Cocker. Right, so I'll just get rid of that screen for now. So we have got the Mr. Tonga, Man of Steel, and Wellness Pro Qualifier coming up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there and some really good prizes. The first thing someone said to me is, do you know what prizes they do? And I was like, yeah, I heard. How have you pulled that show together, man? How's that all worked?
To be honest with the show, it's something that I have been dreaming about for a long time. It all started with seeing a lot of Tongan here into bodybuilding. Yep. And I wanted to do something for the Tongan community. But it's not easy. Over here in New Zealand, we have probably 4 different Tongan bodybuilding group.
Yep.
And they all end up in nowhere. I'm not trying to talk bad about them, but it's the truth. It's the honest truth. I have been trying to help them to at least success in bodybuilding or make something out of it, like what I do. But with the Tongan, I don't know. It must be Tongan.
The guys like Tongan, Samoan, and the Māori population, as a Caucasian dry guy myself, I look at the guys and there is so much genetic potential out there. And I do it all the time. I go, if I had those genetics, what I could do with them. And you're kind of giving them a pathway there for those people that want to, be representative of their Tongan background and compete for Mr. Tonga. But also, you've kind of led the way. I think you'd probably have to be the first Tongan to ever stand on the Olympia stage.
Yes.
Yeah,
So with the show, we have been talking with Mo for years about the show. But I'm just lucky enough that Mo came with the opportunity that I have been dreaming of. So the focus, this year I'm more focused on building the body of steel.
Yep.
Mr. Tonga is just adding to the show.
Yep.
It's just to bring the Tongan community closer. And hopefully will create interest in the Tongan boys and the girls.
Yep.
It's very difficult because of our culture, of what we have to wear. I talk about it a lot all the time. It's not easy for a Tongan girl to stand on stage on their bikini.
Yeah.
It's not easy for a Tongan guy to be on their undies on stage.
Mm-hmm.
With us, for myself, when I compete, my sisters, my cousins, first cousin, my girl's cousin, they can't come and watch the show.
Wow.
That's our culture.
Yeah.
But the New Zealand-born one, they're fine.
Yeah. Because the Tongan community is quite religious and quite conservative as well, aren't they, generally? Yes, they are. Generally speaking.
Yeah. Yes, they are. But I remember...
Yeah. Sorry,
Rob. I remember the first time trying to promote the bodybuilding in Tonga. And everybody was like, are you going to wear a lava lava? And I said, hell no. This is bodybuilding. This is not hula or something. I have to do this the right way.
Yeah.
I don't care about the culture.
Yeah. Interesting, though, bro, because other areas of the world that traditionally were very conservative and didn't have an interest in bodybuilding, like Egypt, are now starting to boom because of people like Rami Hassan I'm missing one name, but and they were sort of the people talking about, all of a sudden people have realized, hey, there's something I can do.
Yeah.
And there's a pile of untapped genetics, so potentially we could be looking back in 10 years time and have a very strong contingent of Tongan bodybuilders.
Yes, to be honest, man, I have a few Tongans here that they have really good genetics. Mm. They have what it takes, but they have too much pride. They don't want to be dumb. They want to know everything. They pretend they know everything. They haven't done a show. Some people, they've done one show and they're already trying to be a coach or trying to be a nutritionist. And I have a lot around me, they're doing those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when you try to help them, they don't want to listen.
Bro, it's not limited to the Tongan community at all. I think it's the younger generation, because there's so much information out there, sometimes I kind of just shake my head and think, I'll say something once, and if you don't listen, that's fine. I'll carry on in my own little way. But I think it's a sign of the younger generation across the board. Everyone has that know everything attitude. But when you put them on stage next to someone that actually does know a bit, then the story gets told. So
yeah.
Anyway, hey, I want to talk wellness. So wellness is a pretty new class in terms of particularly New Zealand.
Yes.
But you've got the pro qualifier. It's actually probably my favorite class at the moment in the females. I love that look with the big legs, big butt, yeah. A nice sort of powerful physique, but still really feminine.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on the wellness this year?
Yeah, so I heard a lot of stories about there are a lot of girls are doing the wellness for the pro card. Mm. But I'm like you. I like the wellness look. Mm. I like the wellness look better than the figure and the women's physique. I think in the future, there will be the class that people will go for.
Yeah.
Instead of bikini.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about the show with the pro qualifier for the wellness.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with the opportunity that Mo and the committee has given me, especially to have a pro qualifier at the show.
Man, that's cool. That's cool. Well, the thing I really like about you having your own show is that it's like when I look overseas and I see the like the Dennis James Classic in Germany,
yes.
And the, who else has got one? Someone else has just got a new one recently, but there's, you know, the Sean Ray and all those people that have got those shows. And for you to have one under your name is like,
yes,
the first New Zealander. And I'm like, that's cool, man. You know, I'm really proud of you, bro. Really proud of you.
Thank you. To be honest, when we were talking about the show with Mo, and I told him I want to call the show Polynesian Body of Steel. And then Mo came with the idea, you know, you need to do something with your name. So it was Mo that gave me, call it Mateo Vaihu Body of Steel.
So it should be.
Yes.
That's cool. It is really neat. And I guess it follows, you know, what's happening overseas, where you know, well-recognized pros are getting those kind of things. So, yeah, awesome. What date is it? It's 5 weeks away, right?
3 weeks. It's on the 7th of August.
7th of August. So, hey, people out there, 7th of August, and the venue for that is?
Glenfield College.
Glenfield College. So on the shore there in Auckland, if you're in Auckland or anywhere several hours either way, make sure you get there. Going to be a really cool show. Hoping to be up there, which means I'll be in Auckland 3 weekends in a row, but we'll see if I can pull it, but really looking forward to it. And we look forward to welcoming a new wellness pro to our ranks. So, yeah. Hey, look, we are going to wrap, man, but I really want to thank you, Mateo. It's been choice, bro. I haven't seen you for ages. Can't wait to see you in person next time we catch up. But all the very best for your show. And keep doing what you're doing, bro. Amazing job. And before I go, I just want to give you the opportunity to say thank you to anyone out there who's helped you along the way on your journey, any of your sponsors, anyone you want to do a shout out to, the floor is yours.
Yes. I just want to say that with my bodybuilding career, it happened. I made it to the Olympia. I won a few titles. And because of the help that I have from Mo and the Extreme, not only that, but there are people around me, they're good people. So well, I guess what I'm trying to say, if you want to go further in bodybuilding, make sure you find someone to help you, someone who knows what they're doing, someone who's been there, done that. And don't just go with people like, follow your friends. Oh, yeah, this guy is this guy is that. Because those guys never done it before. You know, you have to call with the right people. So that way you can learn. Bodybuilding is a learning experience. Up to today, I'm still learning. You know, you never stop learning about this this sport. And I just want to thank you, Extreme, for all the help you have done for me up to this day. And I also want to thank you, you, Nate, for having me in your program. I know we've done a few sessions training together. We never get to stand next to each other on stage, but
luckily,
people don't know that you were once my boss, Official Michael.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, long time ago.
So,
look, man, I really want to thank you again. And people out there, here's a huge lesson for you, as Mateo said. Look to those that have led the way before. They've been there, they've done that. And the other lesson that I take from Mateo is remain humble, because, you know, you remain humble or someone will humble you, is the old saying. So thank you, people, for listening. And we will catch up with you later next week sometime. Until then, stay safe. Have a really productive week and take care.
Thank you.